One of the items on the list of discussions for Temin Halacha was celiac and gluten-free. So how many people here are gluten-free? It's probably impossible to survive in camp gluten-free, no? You're half gluten-free? So, yeah, but there are a growing number of people that are gluten-free, and it poses significant problems just in terms of, I guess, surviving in camp. But besides for that, just in terms of halacha, in terms of hilchos brachos, and what we're going to talk about today is in terms of Shabbos. How does a person who cannot consume gluten deal with Shabbos? So first of all, you have to realize that there's a difference between someone who's celiac and can get sick from gluten, and people who are just trying it for whatever reason. You know, they read online that if they go gluten-free for 4 days, they'll lose 18 pounds or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever ridiculous things that people have. Sometimes people get things in their head and they try things. So trying things is fine, but that we're much less sensitive in terms of of compromising halacha for someone who wants to just stop and try something. But someone who's mamish going to get sick, so this is a real issue that has to be dealt with. There is a discussion of how sick a person has to get from mitzvahs. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim would drink dalet kosos on Pesach and he would have headaches until Shavuos. Does a person have to do that? Does one have to subject himself to that? So clearly you don't need to enter a suffix sakana. That for sure. A person obviously does not have to enter a suffix sakana to do mitzvahs asay. There are only three things, maybe a few more, but really on the basic level, three things for which a person has to risk his life. Of course, and that's about Zoriki L'Rayis and Shvichus Damim, but for performance of mitzvah sasei, one does not have to enter into the Savik Sakana. But let's assume a person is going to be a Chola Shein Bo Sakana. He's going to be ill, not terribly ill, not deathly ill. So this is a discussion. What kinds of sacrifice do you have to make in order to be able to do a mitzvah? This is a much broader discussion. It's not only about gluten. It's about anything that can get you sick. People every year around Pesach time ask me about how wine or even grape juice sometimes can cause them great agmas nefesh, great yisurin, even though it's not going to be dangerous. So there's a tshuva in the Maram Shik, or Chaim Simon Reish Samech, when Maram Shik writes that if a person is going to be a chol shein bo sakana, he still has to do all the mitzvahs of the Seder night, even if it's going to get him sick. And it's raya's from that Gemara, that drinking dalet kosos, even if it's going to make you not feel well until Shavuos, but if it's not going to be dangerous, you have to do it. However, the Birkei Yosef, written by the Chida, of course, the Chida was one of the most prolific authors probably in Jewish history. He wrote dozens and dozens and dozens, probably over 100 books. So the Chida in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and the Birkei Yosef, Simen Tav Reish Mem Sivkat Nehei, paskins that one is potter from mitzvah sasei if those mitzvah sasei will get him sick to the point of a chola shein bo sakana. And that seems to be the conclusion of the Binyan Shlomo in Or Chaim Simon Mem Zayin as well. And that's the accepted psak of Tzitz Eliezer and of Scheinberg and of Sturmbach and of Asher Weiss and many, 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 many of the Gedolei Haposkin. The Eish Lavrami Bachach in Madura Tinyana Simon Tav Reish Nun Vav just points out that maybe there's a geder to the matter. Maybe you can measure it as follows. What does a person have to spend monetarily on a mitzvah sasei? How much money does a person have to spend on a mitzvah sasei? So we know the rule is hamevazveis, al yevazveis yosem michomesh, that a person is spending money on a mitzvah, or the original concept is giving tzedakah, you don't give more than 20% for any mitzvah sasei, even for tzedakah. So says the Eshel Avram Mibachach, Rav Avram David Mibachach, not to be confused with the Eshel Avram Primogadim, the Eshel Avram Mibachach suggests that maybe that's how we measure how sick a person has to get. If you were given the option, you can spare yourself this illness, but you're going to have to pay to spare yourself this illness. There's a preventative medication you could take, but it's going to cost 20% of your money, right? So would you spare yourself that illness for 20% of your money, or would you say, you know what, I'll miss a couple of days of school or a couple of days of work, I'm not giving up 20% of my money? I mean, you can actually quantify how sick is. And if it comes in as less than the chomesh nechasav, then you're going to have to get that sick in order to perform mitzvah sasei. But if it comes in as more than chomesh nechasav, then you will not be required to get that sick to perform mitzvah sasei, which would come out very interesting, because then it would really depend on the person. That, you know, wealthy people, poor people, depending on a person's attachment to money, it will be different, will yield a different result in terms of the halacha. You know, you could have two people with the exact same medical condition, both asking whether they need to eat a kazayis matzah, and for one of them the answer is going to be yes, for the other one the answer is going to be no. So that's the more creative approach of Rav Ram David Mibachach. For a mitzvah midrabanan, the Shulchan Aruch paskens explicitly, Yardayasim Kufman and Hesiv Gimel, that you definitely don't have to get sick for a mitzvah midrabanan. The Ramah writes over there that if there's an Isra Hana Midrabanan, even a Chalashen Basakana is allowed to receive refuah from Mitzvah Midrabanan. But that's in general about performing mitzvahs. Now let's get into what mitzvahs of Shabbos actually can be affected by a person being gluten-free. So I think there are four issues. There's the issue of Ein Kiddush El Makam Su'uda. I mean, typically speaking, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Ayin Gimel in Aruch Chaim says that when you make Kiddush, you need to eat enough to at least recite an Ala Mechir. There are those that are Makbid Rishonim that hold that you actually have to have the Su'uda Shabbos with your Lecha Mishnah and everything, but we generally assume not that way. We generally assume that as long as you eat enough together with your Kiddush to require an Ala Mechir, then that fulfills Kiddush Makam Su'uda. So what's a person supposed to do at a Shul Kiddush when they're not allowed to eat cookies or cake or anything? They can't have gluten products. So what are they supposed to do? Is there any way that they can fulfill Kiddush B'makam Su'uda? So one option that we always have, Mishbrun Reishayin Gimel Sivkat and Chav Zayin, is to drink a Raviyas Yayin. That's also Mechayiv the Bracha Achrona, and therefore would also be a fulfillment of Kiddush B'makam Su'uda. It's not an ideal, but it is. This is a less than an ideal situation. The Mishbrun recommends, doesn't require, but recommends that if a person is the guy who's making Kiddush, he should have two Raviyos of Yayin, one for the Kiddush and one for Kiddush B'makam Su'uda. That Rabbi Kiveger disagrees in his Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch over there, and he holds that you need to eat at least the mezonos, that a revius of yayin would not work. So again, Mishburu recommends being machmir for Rabbi Kiveger under normal circumstances, but b'shas chak to be mekel that a revius yayin would work. So that could be how someone who has a gluten allergy, because it would be able to partake of a shul kiddush and would be able to have the peros or whatever else he's able to have that might be there and still fulfill Kiddush b'makom su'uda. The second issue he's going to have, and of course the most prominent issue, is Lecha Mishnah. What do you do about Lecha Mishnah when you can't have Lechem? So that seems to be a problem. So there is a chakira whether Lecha Mishnah is a din in Suda Shabbos or it's a din in the brachos to enhance the hamotzi on Shabbos. So there could be many nafkaminas. One might be is whether somebody else can say hamotzi on two loaves of bread. If it's a din in birchas hamotzi, then if someone else says hamotzi and you could have just a little nibble, maybe that would be enough. And that's what Yishalav Rami Bachach seems to hold. But if it's in a din in Su'uda Shabbos, then you need to actually eat the bread. And that's what seems to be the approach of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. My understanding is that most people who are gluten-free get some sort of oat bread that is mechamesha sabinim if they're able to, and we'll make hamotzi on that, and we'll have whatever quantities they're able to have of that in order to make sure that they're yotze lecha mishnah l'chal hadeos. A third issue is su'uda shabbos. Shulchan Aruch and Reish Pei Ches Sif Beis paskins that you're supposed to have Oneg Shabbos. So normally that involves eating all the delicious things. So that's not really an issue at all. That's b'chol not an issue, because Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person gets more oneg from not eating, then they shouldn't eat. Meaning, Oneg Shabbos is very personal, so whatever you enjoy. So if you would rather not eat, then that's your Oneg Shabbos, and that's perfectly fine. A person doesn't have to force themselves, certainly, to eat something that they don't like or that's going to bother them, if that's going to ruin their Oneg Shabbos. And then the fourth issue is when it comes to Suda Shlishis. Why is Suda Shlishis different than any other Suda? Because there is something that we do at Suda Shlishis. We typically start most shuls that have Shalashudis, they start Shalashudis, and here in camp we do the same thing. We start Shalashudis before Shkia, but then we continue to eat well into the night. I was just asking one of my children, who was going to who left an NCSY Kollel last night, what do they do all Shabbos afternoon? Like, one of the most difficult programming things in camp is, what do you do on Shabbos afternoon? So what do you do in Israel? It's 120 degrees on Shabbos afternoon when you have like 8 hours. So he said, Shalosh Shuddos is like 4 hours, you know, like so there's a way to extend things. So that's what people typically do. They'll have a long Shalosh Shuddos, not necessarily 4 hours, but they have a long Shalosh Shuddos. So the problem is, why are you allowed to be mamshich for Shalosh Shuddos? Because you washed before Shkia. What if you're not washing gluten free? How many oat breads can you have for it? So you washed before Shalosh Shuddos. So you didn't wash at all. Rather, you're having Shalosh Shuddos. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in some Reish Saditas different deals of what you need to be yotzei Shalosh Shuddos. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes that there are deals, even though Lechem Mishnah is ideal, there are deals at all that you could be yotzei with much less than Lechem Mishnah. So the person who has a gluten allergy is probably not eating Lechem Mishnah. So is he allowed to continue eating his Suda Shlishis that began Miba'od Yom? So the Aruch HaShulchan in some Reish Saditas Sifhei says, only if you wash are you allowed to continue. You know, it only goes basra aschalas asuda if you washed. If you didn't wash, then you have to stop at Shkia. You have to stop when it's when it might be nightfall already. The Shevet Alevi, Ravazin, Chelechas, Simen Lamed Vav, based on the Levush, says that whatever you consider to be part of your meal would work. It does not have to involve hamotzi. I mean, sometimes people sit down to a meal and they fill their stomachs, they more than they ever could have imagined, and they say a bar nefashos at the end, right? Sometimes a meal is it's a steak, it's some veggies, it's I don't know, but it's a meal. So if that's a meal and you're sitting down to have a meal, then you're still allowed to go basra aschalas hasu'uda according to Rav Vazner. Normally we're machmir on this shayla. Normally we would only allow to continue to eat if you already washed earlier. But we sometimes rely on a das yachid b'shas adchak, and every shul's su'uda shlishas extends well past shkia. So Rabbi David Cohen, who wrote the article on gluten-free and celiac in the RJJ journal, I think the now defunct RJJ journal lasted for a long time, the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, but I think it doesn't exist anymore. They don't come out with new editions anymore. So Rabbi David Cohen from the, there are lots of Rabbi David Cohens. Rabbi David Cohen from the CRC, from the Chicago Rabbinical Council, son of Rabbi Al Cohen, and the last editor of the RJJ Journal, he wrote a very long, comprehensive article on this topic, and he says maybe the reason to be machmir, maybe the reason anyone is machmir about only continuing Shalosh Shuddos when you washed before Shkia is that refraining to eat bread is a positive statement that it's not a real meal, and therefore you're not really being mitzarif all of your achila. But if you're a person who just doesn't eat bread, then it's not such a statement that this isn't a real meal. Maybe it is a real meal. Meaning, what he's suggesting is, even though generally we are machmir, that if you're not eating bread, if you didn't wash, you cannot continue Shalosh Shuddos, maybe that's because we're assuming by you not eating bread, you're making a statement that this isn't a meal for you. But if it's a person who never eats bread, so then he's not making a statement that it's not a meal for him. Memele, it is a meal for him, and he's allowed to continue eating even after Shkia, as long as that same Suda, as long as that Shalosh Shuddos continues. There are many other halachos relating to gluten-free people. Certainly around Pesach time, there's a lot to talk about, and Hilchos Brachos, there's a lot to talk about. But today, for today, we're just going to leave it at Hilchos Shabbos.